Welcome to the University of Coruscant. As part of your enrollment here, you have access to the attached Holonet recording. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on galactic history. You've selected a lecture by Dr. Sunny Ravencourt on modern lightsabers. If you have any questions about this lecture or wish to contact us, please visit universityofcoruscant.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all for that excellent welcome. I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised by your enthusiastic response to our first class. Although, come to think of it, I really shouldn't have been surprised at all. Also, to the student who painted a portrait of me riding a white bantha into battle, wearing gleaming chrome armor, I have to say, that is simply not something that I've ever done. I have only done that on a brown bantha. The white ones get far too dirty. But I truly do appreciate the gesture. I proudly hung it in the staff lounge right before class. I do hope that's not a bother to the other professors. Lightsabers! Lightsabers! Check this out. I've been practicing a bit. Oh dear. I hope that droid was not a member of the faculty. I guess that's the price you pay for having a holodrama star like myself on staff. Nonetheless, I'm sure all of you are as excited as I am to finish our two-class series on lightsabers. Last week, we learned all about where they came from and how early versions were made, but let's be honest, nothing really compares to the sound and feel of a modern lightsaber. Just listen to this thing! Magnificent. If I had the Force, I would spend all day long building these things. And then I would fire all my stuntmen, because now I had the Force, which seems like it would be really handy for the holodramas. Regardless, lightsabers. When we spoke last, we talked about the protosaber and its terrible design. Well, I mean, I guess you can't really call it terrible, because it did more or less create a lightsaber, even if it was tied by a cord to a battery on your hip. It was just limited by the technology of the age. Well, eventually that was solved by the Sith Empire. They were the first to discover that if you put a battery into the hilt, introduced a superconductor, looped the energy from the negative charged flux aperture right back through the power cell, well, then you would only expend power when the blade was actually cutting something, which saved a ton of power. Add in the magnetic stabilizing ring, your trusty focusing crystal, and ta-da! Lightsaber. It's, believe it or not, more complicated than that, but we are historians, not ancient engineers. Incidentally, remember how we ended last week talking about an old Jedi master named Vodo Siosk Baz, with his Force walking stick and how he challenged the Sith Empire's leader, Exar Kun? Well, guess what Kun killed him with? You got it, a lightsaber. The Sith Empire perfected these things, so the moral of that story is, do not bring a cane to a lightsaber fight. I'm sure that many of you have not ever held a lightsaber. After all, we're not all wealthy and famous like myself, so how does something like this feel? Is it delicate? Is it sturdy? When you tell someone that it's a focused plasma beam, well, that doesn't really mean anything. I think one of the greatest quotes about what a lightsaber actually feels like was made by a Jedi named Kanan Jarrus. When asked why it feels so heavy, and it does, he said, quote, "Energy constantly flows through the crystal. You're not fighting with a simple blade as much as you are directing a current of power." End quote. Force users found it actually helpful to use the Force to help guide and control a blade like this. The blade was always extremely hot since it's pure energy. I alluded to it last week, but we all know this anyways. Wounds from lightsabers rarely bleed, even if you lost a limb to one. The edges are simply sealed with heat, known as cauterizing the wound. Okay, so you have this wildly dangerous plasma blade that's being swung around by force users that have to even use the force to help control it. How on earth do you defend against something like that? Well, if you also had a lightsaber, the blades themselves could block other blades. But only if force users are really using them to anticipate that kind of action. What about the rest of us mere mortals? If you're holding a regular sword, well, you better also have fast shoes because you're about to lose that fight. Even Durasteel blast doors were no match for the heat of a lightsaber. There were a few rare items that could resist the heat and the energy, some better than others. Zillowbeast hide was one of them. Mandalorian iron was another. Both of those are extremely rare and would only really work on glancing blows. But if you're a Mandalorian, then, you know, Mandalorian iron is going to be high on your list of things to acquire if you are hunting Jedi. Cortosis armor is probably the most effective since it redirects the energy within the blade itself, causing it to shut off on contact. They would weave the cortosis right into the armor itself to make this happen. None of this stuff is easy to come by, though, particularly that last one. There's not a lot of moments in history with frustrated Jedi wondering why their lightsaber keeps pooping out. It should be noted that this is not an exhaustive list, either. During the height of the Jedi, there was a lot of experimentation with plasma beams and electrified fields that were pretty good at blocking lightsabers. Lightsabers, for being so rare, do come in a variety of shapes and sizes. The hilt is by far the most varied. There's double-sided hilts, there's hilts made of bone, metals, a giant tooth, you name it. I read about one where a kid built a blaster right into the hilt. There's spinning circular hilts with the blades on the outside of a track. I mean, we could talk about hilts all day long because honestly, there is no limit to the creativity. All you have to do is house the components and have an opening to let the beam out. If you wanted to put it on your lawn droid to keep your Alderaanian bent grass short, well, I'm sure you could somehow accomplish that. It's rare and a little more difficult, but even a short cross guard can exist also. The crossguard lightsaber is a little bit deceiving as it's not really true blades coming out of the side of the hilt as much as they are vents for excess plasma to escape. I've never really been a fan of that one since it seems like I would really have to worry about cutting myself to ribbons. The individuality of the saber isn't just limited to what kind of hilt you want to make. The colors are vibrant, spectacular hues that look brilliant in a dark environment. But the colors are a little bit more meaningful than the hilt. And to explain that, we have to talk a bit about history, which I suppose is why they pay me. There's a lot of inconsistency about the history of the Jedi and the Sith. Some tales get replaced with new tales, and it's very difficult to tell the differences between history and lore. So I'm going to tell you two wildly different theories on how lightsabers get their colors. Both revolve around the crystals. It also unfortunately explains why none of you are likely to be able to make a lightsaber at all. I know that that really must hurt you, but there is a reason why lightsabers are rare. Method 1. Just put whatever you want in there for a crystal. A shard of glass, any crystal at all, special or not. Then meditate on it for days and pour the force into it. What's that? You can't use the force? Well, tough luck. Naturally, shards of glass are not going to work the best for this, so the better crystal you could get, the better it would work. Now, it surprises me that this method would work at all, but what do I know? I mean, I'm not a Jedi, who knows? Maybe after force blasting for 6 days, we could get that droid that I chopped in half earlier to get up and sign my autographs. Still, it seems kind of fishy. No offense to any Mon Cal out there. Method 2. Go to Ilum, a snowy planet where the crystals grow naturally and allegedly call out to the Force users. These crystals, known as Kyber crystals, or just Kyber, are living things. They had grown a relationship to the Jedi who had used them for lightsabers for tens of thousands of years. If the crystal didn't want you, it would stay cold and silent. But if it did pick you, it would ring in a sort of harmony as you neared it. All of the crystals had no color until you selected it, or it selected you, and then it would pick its own color. Lightsiders would often end up with greens and blues, while darksiders almost always had red. There is even a fork in the road on method two. Some modern historians believe that darksiders never started with red crystals. Since the crystals from Ilum were actually living things, the darkside users could inflict a sort of pain upon them, known as bleeding the crystal. So you put enough pain into a crystal and it would turn red. Some theorize that all red lightsabers used by the Sith at that time were lightsabers taken from a killed Jedi and then bled, bleeding the crystal. And remember, during the Sith Empire, there was a whole empire of them. It seems like a really inefficient way to equip an army, but psychologically, pretty intense, right? I mean, you had to torture a living crystal to get that red color. In the end, there is not a lot of lightsabers around. And there's not a lot of push to mass produce these things because you have to have the Force, more or less, to help you use it. They are extremely dangerous to the person swinging it. Unless you have the Force, it's probably easier to just learn to quick draw a blaster like everybody else. Okay, do we have any questions from the audience?
Hello, Professor.
Please introduce yourself. I always ask that the students introduce themselves.
My name is Quantum Thrustbottom. Other than the hilt, did lightsaber blades have to be the same length because of the engineering?
Excellent question, Mr. Thrustbottom. No, although they usually were. The blade is typically about 90 centimeters long. However, a popular modification was the Shoto Saber, which was half of that size. If you happen to be a very small Jedi or a Sith, such as the famous Jedi Master Yoda, well then a Shoto Saber was basically a full-size saber for you. More often, though, it would be used for dual-wielding techniques or in combination with one larger blade. And that will do it for class today. Homework for next week is to use your holotablet to design a lightsaber that has never been seen before and submit it to me. Extra credit for the winners and engravings of my image on the hilt will not improve your chances. I'm just kidding, they totally will.
This concludes your selected lecture from the University of Coruscant. For all questions or to contact us, please visit theuniversityofcoruscant.com.